Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is some episode number of the Skulls cast.
I think some episode number today will be 96.
Okay. That's good. I don't know what happened to 93. I might actually have it somewhere.
I know what happened to 93.
Never posted it. That would be kind of a thing. But today we're going to talk about Golves.
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 Plural of golf.
The plural of, if you golf, is that like golfing more than once in one day?
That's golfing more than once at the same time.
How do you, wait, so it's like multi-ball? You hit two at once?
Yeah, you put the tees down, mm-hmm. sort of all right near each other, and then you put the ball on each of the tees, usually around three. Is the normal amount for regulation golfing tournaments.
Ooh, golves.
And then, you know, all three balls will go slightly different places, and so you break apart and hit. you have to take each shot uh-huh. at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So simultaneous.
So really, yeah. No, that sounds. I think realistically you would have a team. That's not actually what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, no. I designed a mini golf game like that once. That's just simultaneous tone resolution mini golf.
Whoa. There's probably a lot of colliding going on there.
That's exactly what happens.
Jeez.
It's very strategic.
It's turning golf into a full contact sport. I don't know if I'm okay with that. Like, at the very least, that's not the way to begin that sentence. So when you're doing a golf, not a golves, what they'll do is put a marker down on the green for like where a ball lies.
Yeah, the
so
chip.
That you can right. So that you can actually not have full contact to golf or croquet or whatever. But this is like aggressively the opposite of that apparently.
Yes.
But you actually like you came to me this afternoon and said you wanted to talk about birds, though.
Specifically a fact cast? About birds that I discovered.
Okay. What have you discovered about birds?
This is what I discovered.
Thing?
About, I no, it, no. Dinosaur this, thing is old hat.
I like the dinosaur thing.
I'm not saying it's bad.
I liked dinosaurs a lot when I was a kid.
I'm saying it's old hat.
Okay. Well,
dinosaurs are extremely old.
No hat.
And I use this bird to make a hat.
Anyway, I guess that's more the point.
Here's the fact about birds.
Mm-hmm.
Birds don't have mouths.
It's not a fact. You can't make
fact.
Up fake facts and then
birds
like...
don't have mouths, Cass. It's messed up. I know it's messed up, but it's true. This is how nature has evolved. Natural selection is that this animal doesn't have a mouth.
Okay.
None of these animals.
Counterpoint one. Any given episode of Looney Tunes where Donald Duck gets blasted in the face with a shotgun from like one of the Kingdom Hearts characters or something, and you see his bill like spin around his head, and then he'll say something, and you see the like the mouth under the beak say, and then he puts his beak back on.
It's directly exposing the beast's larynx.
You can't talk with just a larynx.
He's a cartoon. He can do whatever
oh,
he wants.
Oh, now cartoon logic becomes our defense. I think, no, that's how you win, like, any argument, right? Okay, no, this is excellent. What you do, you get it into an argument, you use a cartoon to prove your point, and then the first person to fall back to, but it's just a cartoon, is the loser.
Right.
And that's how you know.
It's the first person whose belief that cartoons are real... becomes as soon as they lose their faith in the Almighty,
the Almighty, like, oh, what was the guy's name? Crap. I was gonna take you guys back in time with this one. Shoot, and his name is just not coming to me.
Was it Tex Avery?
Yes. Damn it. Okay, so the name came to me so hard it hit you first.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Went straight through you, right into
yeah.
me. Because it only checks its position once every 1/60th of a second, and so it can
right.
it can clip.
Yeah, no, it clipped right through my
QPUs
brain.
And all that.
I don't think I've had a thought clip through my brain into someone else's before. That's pretty vile. But anyway, yeah, the first person to like say, "Nah, that's just a cartoon." That's like, you know, they've lost. Now
they break Kai.
Right. You have to at least hold the argument enough to the. That has nothing to do with this. We're still talking about bird mouths.
Birds don't have mouths, so we're not talking about that.
I get this is central to the discussion. I think. How did you learn this fact? Let's start there.
Okay, so I was at work, right? And so while I'm at work, what's very important for me to do is not my job. It's very important that I do any number of things other than my job.
That's so far the opposite of my work.
Right, so that's why they balance out.
Okay. Yeah, right. You're doing opposite work.
Yes, I do opposite work that decreases efficiency and removes value.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was thinking about, you know, the shape of a bird's beak. And the shape and all the different shapes that a bird's beak can have. And I was thinking about the beak and how it is connected to the bird. Then realize you have beak, and then you immediately have like the gullet and the crop. There's no mouth.
Something
goes from being in the beak to being in the crop. Via the gullet.
Well, how is, I guess at that point, how is a beak? So that, no, hold on. You didn't like read this anywhere. You just sort of dreamed this up, huh?
I discovered it.
No, you didn't. You didn't discover Jack. You were sitting in your armchair doing opposite work and thought, "Wow, birds don't have mouths." I mean, that's a picture of birds.
That's more or less how it went. Yeah.
Oh my god. This is so good. This is like a Neil deGrasse Tyson revelation. You've done it. You've created a new, never before heard of Neil deGrasse Tyson tweet. That's what you've discovered. That's what you've mined from deep within the earth. You have a hot take on your hands.
I invented a time machine, but the only thing that it does is show me tweets from the future.
Okay, well, I guess we'll look forward to that. Maybe I have to post this one before the other one so that we can get in before the hot Neil deGrasse Tyson tweet where he realizes birds don't have mouths. I want to see his crash and burn so badly because the tweet storm from that will be amazing. For one, it will be periodic, like every month he'll do the same series of tweets until he like collapses in on himself and he's constantly tweeting like the letter X on his keyboard or whatever he can reach, like 24/7. Anyway, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, listener, that's okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson is a hack and is ruining pop science, which I don't really care about. I don't think pop science is all that good or valuable, but other people do. And that's kind of a discussion for another time, I think.
No fun about it.
Probably mostly just physics and like...
Astrophysics is his specialty. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
He's got a PhD in that, so right. Probably knows a thing or two.
Yeah, like a PhD is your license to create new knowledge in the world.
Does that mean I'm an unlicensed knowledge creator? Can I be arrested for creating knowledge without a license?
Yeah, you'll be arrested by the science police.
Science cops?
For science cops for creating illegal knowledge. What a bunch of squares. Illegal scientific knowledge. There's plenty of, like, illegal other kind of knowledge, which generally falls under the purview of demagogues. Like, I don't know. Gadflies? People who just sit and think and talk about things, which is clearly, yeah... These two,
an area of my expertise.
Right here. So I'm gonna submit. Birds don't have mouths. You've done it.
I've proven it with science and facts.
Done no such thing. Haven't even proven it with economics.
Proven it by inward observation.
You know, that's more like a Platonic or Aristotelian approach to it.
You just think about things hard enough, you'll discover every fact about the universe.
Right. That was the whole point. Like, they didn't trust anything other than what could be proven, like, hard. So eventually they came up with geometry and mathematics, which is where this kind of thing shines.
Like, there's a great set of tools within for geometry.
A standalone complex, but they tried to apply it to basically everything, which is how Plato came up with the idea that every thing or concept was somehow an imperfect representation or imitation of a perfect or ideal thing or concept. So
also, everything is made out of either pyramids or cubes or 20-sided dice.
I think there might be a triangle in there somewhere.
Oh, that's the pyramid.
A pyramid is a triangle. Okay. Because you can't have 2D things because a void can't exist.
Right.
And 2D would be like a void in one dimension.
Right.
Yeah, okay. No, I remember that part.
Any space that appears to be a void is actually filled in by D20s.
Oh, these... I can't get enough of...
Was it D12s? Were D20s water?
No. You were telling me the other day that a D20 and a D12 were like face vertex of... face vertex handshake buddies or whatever it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was like... Rocks are made out of D6s.
I was trying to wean... you're never at a loss for like Dungeons and Dragons stuff. Just like reach into the earth and you'll pull out what you need. But I was trying to push us in the direction of economics.
Okay. I took, as so many other people have, one semester of economics.
All right. Well, macro or micro?
Hell if I know.
Probably macro.
Yeah.
At a guess, that's the usual one for like STEM kind of stuff. And micro for like, either if you're like in economics and you take everything, or in like finance track and you kind of have to take everything, but they focus on like little stuff. Or, you know, it's also been a long time since I was close to this kind of thing, so maybe it's all kinds of other stuff by now, but I'm guessing that you had macro, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because what I'm going to discuss, maybe? I don't know how well this is going to go, because...
Yeah, we're done with the bird for now.
We're done with it. We're tabling that. I'm sure that Medibot is going to throw it back at me at the most inconvenient possible moment. But for now, I'm doing another book review.
Book.
Yeah, I love books.
Book.
Every now and again, I'll read a book and want to talk about it. And I don't have very many places to talk about it because, you know, reading a book alone, like what? I could go on the internet and find forums for people who have also read the book and then have, like, no meaningful or productive discussion whatsoever. For like, you know, maybe I could go onto the Something Awful forums and like find
the Book Barn.
There's gotta be
yeah,
go to Book Barn, look up some like ages old thread and read through that, and then find out that they've already discussed all my talking points. But for this one, I would have to go back to like, I don't know, 2008 or before. I don't actually remember when this came out. I want to say it wasn't until like mid-2000s at least. So I'm going to guess 2004. The book itself, as I'm talking about economics, is called Freakonomics.
Well, that was a very popular book.
It was an extremely popular book. It was a New York Times bestseller, which was advertised on the cover of the thing, which I don't know how they do. So, like, the thing that I read must have been, like, a re-release or, like, a second
print
run. Like, you can't have a first edition New York Times bestseller. That's...
I mean, a curious trick, to be sure.
Man. That kind of stuff happens on the internet. Until they invent intelligent ink, which I'm sure whoever wrote this thing believes in. Maybe I should, like, look up the name of the guy? Like, okay. So, here's the part about this book review that is botched. I don't have the book. I borrowed it.
Sure. I borrow things all the time.
So I'm
most of them aren't mine.
Okay, I'm going to bother to look up one fact. So I'm looking up a fact. I'm going to Bing it. Freakonomics?
Almost went to something more interesting.
Okay, Stephen Levitt, Stephen Dubner.
Oh, Stephen and Stephen.
Steve. Yeah, one
double Steve.
Oh my God, one V, one PH.
Yeah,
they've covered all the bases. I didn't even realize this. Okay. Yeah. So there you have it. Those two guys.
So those Steves.
The Steves. One Steve is an economist who has no job, and the other is a writer who also has no job. That's basically it. So the Freakonomics, in a nutshell, is a book about casual racism and crime.
How casual are we talking about when we talk casual racism?
I don't have a scale for that. I would want like
a... I don't either. I was hoping you did.
Okay, on a one to seven of casualness, where one is not at all casual, and seven is like pina colada, I would put it at a five for casualness of the... Okay, let me back up just a step, because I'm coming to the conclusion before I've come to the premise, which is, simply put, Freakonomics is a book about the study of things, typically things that happened in America. It's sort of a social, historical study of just stuff that happened in America, centering on a couple topics. Typically, the crime is a big part of it, because Stephen V, I think V. Stephen, really loves to just look at crime and try to figure out where it came from. Like, ooh, I wonder what's going on with crime.
And then, I hear that, like, there's a whole, like, area of study all about that.
Yes,
you can actually
is.
Learn about it if you want to actually understand it.
You can, and people do. But, okay. The same way we were talking about how Neil deGrasse Tyson is a astrophysicist who presumes that he can, like, induce any understanding from astrophysics, even though there's no reason to believe this. Stephen, with a V, I think, presumes that he can induce any understanding from an understanding of economics, which is itself an understanding of rational decision-making.
Okay, so he's an expert in the field of things that never ever happen.
Yeah, basically. Now, okay, like, pure economics is rational decision-making. Real economics is more like how things shake out or actual decision-making, and typically it centers on exchanges of some sort.
Goat auguries.
Typically money. Okay, so that's economics. Myself, I'm not an expert. I'm gonna peel the veil right back. I don't have a serious, like, wealth of economic study in me. I know only the basic facts of it and about it. I do know, however, when a premise is bullshit, and that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to expose now. with my poor note-taking efforts. So, yeah. If you have any serious study of economics, you can probably, you know, take this stuff to task on your own. I'm going to try to just keep it kind of light, just touch on the points that I wanted to touch on through this, and how, simply put, the book fails to prove anything that it sets out to prove. Like, beyond maybe two total points. Okay? So, no matter what, there's, economics and statistics are, like, always at odds. And I really hate that, because in a, in any, like, serious study of any kind, all right? If you're going to call your thing a science, you need statistical analysis. That's how it works. You haven't proven anything scientifically unless you've proven it with stats. Now, the difference between stats and, like, analytics is statistical rigor, which is to say actual proof. Analytics just has data, numbers. I'll throw enough numbers at you, and then my data backs it up, and then there you go. Poof, I'm done. My job is complete. I have the data. And they tend to stop at that point, which is why I find myself constantly at odds with economists, economics, analytics, that kind of stuff, because I'm like, oh, yeah, you've published your data. Now what? You've said nothing. You have said an empty sentence, a zero, a null, or whatever. Like, get on with it. I have more of a background in statistics, as it were, and I'm used to understanding what a serious statistical study entails and what it actually means to prove something. So, like, economists and sociologists are anytime I hear anything from those camps, I'm like, I don't believe you. Just as a baseline, show me that you've done the legwork, and then we can start talking. But like, sociologists too are like, oh well, I have a correlation coefficient of 0.2, so that's enough. And I'm like, whoa, hey, you're talking about noise. I can blow into a microphone and come up with a 0.2. I blew 0.2 in a breathalyzer. I actually don't. Strayed somewhat from my initial point. I haven't even gotten to the cover. See, I have all these notes, and they're arranged by the page number.
Isn't the cover just some guy chewing on an apple?
No, it's an apple that has an orange inside it, which is cute. So there's like shock value and salesmanship that went into this book, which is the subtitle, A Rogue Economist Explores the Hidden Side of Everything, right? And I put everything in air quotes, and then dozens of things in water quotes, and then like six or so total things in, I guess that's like earth quotes now. But
does rogue get put in fire quotes? Because I think at
yeah, some point... the reason that he's a rogue economist is because he doesn't have work.
Mm.
So already
rogue is code for unemployed.
Right. So the we haven't even gotten past the cover, and I'm already calling bullshit on the Steves, because like hidden side of everything. No, there are generously six topics in the book. All right. Like crime in America, drug deals, sumo wrestling, and like test taking and cheating on tests. And really the like crime and drug deals thing kind of goes together.
There's some connection there.
Like he talks about the KKK at some point, and nothing... none of it is terribly cohesive. A lot of it is hitting the same points again and again. And it's just... It took me a while to get through. And it was about halfway through before I started taking notes because I felt I needed to. Because I'm just like, this is so awful. This became really popular. And suddenly, oh, it's like he's peeled back the veil and exposed all this stuff that's...
Definitely remember talking to a lot of people who read the book and then were very convinced that they understood everything now.
Yeah. See, that's dangerous because on the whole, and again, without getting into my notes just yet, there are like two good ideas in there. I put good ideas on the green notes.
Huh.
See, and bad ideas on the pink.
Let's just skip ahead to the good ideas.
Okay.
Let's get those first.
Skip ahead to the good ideas. That's how we like to review games too, right? We like pick out just the one. They're all stuck
damn
together
by faint praise.
Page 23, he mentions incentive exchange, which is a real thing. So that's good. You can see how terrible my notes are too now, because it like they make sense when they're stuck on the page and you can actually read it. They don't make that much sense when I've taken them apart like this. Oop, I missed one. I don't want to shortchange the Steves. All right.
I have three good ideas. We found a third good idea later, folks.
Page 26 mentions history and current events. That's good. It's good to draw on real history and real current events. Page 28, the Steves use the word data as a plural, which is correct. So I gave them a point for that. That's good. I can't find any more.
There's a fourth good idea.
There's some. Okay, what else we got in here? All right. Page 82 has a neat factoid on it. It might not mean anything, but it was neat.
It was neat.
I don't remember what it was.
Wow, neato.
Neat. Like, they put a ton of other stuff in there as neat factoids, which I didn't give them credit for because that's publishing your data. Do not publish data. Do not publish data. Okay? Maybe I should qualify that a little. If you publish your data, you're essentially saying, I have no ideas. I don't know what this means. I haven't done any study of it. I've just read some values. That's it. If you want to like make a serious paper, blog post, article, book, whatever, you need analysis. Publish analysis, which is derived from your data. So that's, and I'm not asking for much. I'm not even asking for like specific tests or anything, you know? Even a graph, right? A graph is something different from your raw data.
Raw.
Page 149. Fear and motivation and information. Okay. That's good. And that's, I'm out.
You're out of good ideas.
Out of good ideas. So that was that. That was
all right, so that's Freakonomics. There are five good ideas in the book.
Those were my good points. But no, this like hidden side of everything. What a bunch of hokum. What a bunch of salesmanship. You have like five good ideas in there. Maybe you talked about four total things. You have not revealed the hidden side of everything. You haven't revealed the hidden side of Jack. Ugh. So many of my notes here are, you don't know Jack about whatever. Because it's just him blustering in and saying, oh, what is this that I've never heard of? Let's get some data. Looks at numbers. Okay, I've decided how it works. And then posting that in like a chapter and then on to the next chapter without any like real thought given to what that means in a larger context, which is really curious from someone who's trying to like approach things with a larger context. That's the whole point of the book. If it tries to do anything, it's trying to show real correlations between things that no one else thought to correlate or people thought were unrelated. Okay, that is the whole thing.
The classic tacos v skateboards.
Mm. Oh, I have a note on the table of contents, which contains summaries that the chapters themselves fail to expand upon. And this was on a reread. So the table of contents gives you this teaser for a payoff that isn't there.
And that's why they call it a teaser.
Yeah, it was a pretty deep tease at that point. Page 5.
There's probably a market for that somewhere, deep teasing.
Oh, there's blood obsession in this book. I forgot. Wow. As if they... I think this book was designed to make me hate it. Like, everything is just wrong enough.
Blood.
And I'm just like, ah. So one of the eventual points that the Steves get to is that your genetic predisposition to anything is ironclad and cannot be avoided. You are your genes, your blood will rule you, and it can be used to predict everything about your life and all of your children's lives. So that's what I mean by blood obsession. On page 5, I have a note that there are pejorative descriptions of persons, neutral language until it isn't, vis-a-vis blood obsession. So that ties into one of my points about the book, about how it is hella racist and somehow gets away with it. But yeah, so neutral language is really important to, you know, serious scientific or sociological study of any kind. It's probably even important in your day-to-day life for interacting with people in a non-asshole-ish way. And this book fails on page 5 for that. I had a page, or is that 14? No, that's got to be 11. Let's see. Expansions and induction without statistical rigor or logical premise, and even the opposite. It's true in this case, ergo, therefore, it's true everywhere. And that's sort of the MO of all of the analysis done in the book. They come up with a case study for where there's some cause and some effect, and then they're like, okay, we're done. Chapter over. We've proven it for everything. This is how any given thing works. Great. Let's see. Page 12 promises dozens more thing. dozens more proofs. And I counted 6 on first reading, and I was being generous. Okay. Dozens more, my ass. When I hear the word dozens, I'm thinking at least 24, you know?
That is
one dozen, two dozen. Right.
Two is, if we're going with whole numbers here, then two is the smallest number which qualifies you for a plural. And therefore, yeah, expecting 24 when as a base minimum, when dozens are promised, seems like you're being as generous to them as possible.
I'm gonna try to speed through. This is not as rich a mining ground as I was thinking it was. So I'm gonna try to speed through this stuff. So page 15, they talk about their biases, claiming they don't have any.
Oh, okay. So that's this is where they just out and out admit that they're liars.
They're a perfect neutral third person. And so
you're not.
Right. What I wrote was bull and coward. That's page 17, we have our first instance of data obsession. Which is, if I just have enough numbers, I can prove anything.
I need more data. Just pour a few more liters of data in the tank.
Page 21, we have crime obsession. Somewhere in between these, there's one perhaps good, perhaps valid, but ultimately unproven point, which is what everyone takes away from the book, which is the an abortion bill passing at a certain period in America's history meant that at a certain later period, when the now aborted babies would have grown into criminals, the crime rate dropped. And no one really had an explanation for how the crime rate dropped. And then, like, a decade later, two Steves come along and say, oh, it was probably that. And there's something to that, and a real study would probably reveal, hey, there is some causal link. Maybe there's something to this. But this ain't that. Unfortunately, and they hammer it home every chance they get, and it's the one good point in the entire book, and they don't even do a complete job of it. So I think that a real book, which would have been valid but way more boring, could have been done on that topic alone.
Right, just that single study.
Yes.
And the historical effects. Mm-hmm. And all of that.
Right. But this
but that doesn't get you number one on the New York Times bestseller list.
Page 25, I just wrote waste of a paragraph. So that was probably just sort of a blank. Page 32. Let's see. Questions nearer the end are harder. Facts stated and never explained, vis-a-vis instructional design. Okay, so when they're talking about standardized tests, they published a bunch of the results of standardized tests. And there are a couple of things stated about how standardized tests are given that they just never explain. For instance, the fact, water quotes, the fact that the questions get harder near the end of a standardized test.
I mean,
and I'm like, okay, you know something I don't about that, apparently.
Also, that's having admittedly briefly studied education, not always the case.
Right. So, like, okay, yeah, I admit, like, they're standardized for a reason, so everybody's taking the same thing. But to just, like, roll that out there totally unexplained as if... And use it as an underpinning for his argument. Their argument, the Steves. I didn't accept it. And I'm not going to accept it until they, like, put in one sentence, assholes. You're not instructional designers, so don't claim to know shit about that either.
Also, making standardized tests is this extremely huge challenge that involves multiple educators from multiple educational backgrounds that is no, the term were, complicated beast. Right. What, please do not speak lightly of this gigantic hydra that is standardized testing.
Well, I mean, their point was trying to, like... sort of
set me off a bit.
Right. I know. Maybe we'll... But their point was trying to catch cheating teachers with economics.
Mm.
Which is, no, you didn't. You caught them with statistics, if you caught them at all, and maybe you, like, know something. You had information about these tests that you weren't giving us. So, like, I don't know. Let's see... Page 31 has a bunch of raw data published on it, and I said, this is not statistics. Do not publish data. Page 40, I put the acronym YDKSAS, which is You Don't Know Shit About Sumo. And so he just blundered into sumo wrestling and presumed an understanding of it, which is how he could come to the conclusions that he did. Let's see. Page... 47? Yeah, page 47 is merely boring. So when they're being... Like, this is the worst part of the book. It's like when they're being accurate or have any of their, like, actual interesting stuff, it's just bland. It's a failure of writing. It's a failure of economics. It's awful. Page 48 has a problem of sample size, as in not enough. So you haven't proven anything. Oh, that's kind of the MO of the book, too, is how, you know... They have a case study. It looks compelling. It has, like, people's names in it. They get to tell this story. And that's like, oh, yeah, no, I can really relate to that person. Wow. And then they try to, like, use it to say, ah, well, that means X, Y, and Z about all of America. And that's where I have to, I am able to take a step back. And I say, no, you've just invalidated your entire story up to this point. It's not... You're invalid. I can't feel for that anymore. You've ruined it. Page 50. This is a genius tactic, by the way. It's full of the book is full of the tactics of a huckster, of charlatanism. In this case, page 50, displacement of anecdotal proof.
Tell me more about this useful huckster technique.
Yeah, the useful huckster technique of displacing anecdotal proof is more or less what I was just talking about, where you have an anecdote, you use it to prove something, and you quickly move on to something else while... Okay, so you take the story of the anecdote on forward, but you leave the proof behind. So you're, in a sense, burying your lead. You're not coming to your actual conclusion at the conclusion. You're coming to their conclusion at the middle and just leaving it behind and letting people forget that you said anything. And then when you call it back later, they're like, oh, yeah, no, you totally proved that. It's lame and bobo. And if you're taking notes, it doesn't work. How about that? Followed quickly by page 53, the race to the finish, as in we don't actually have a conclusion to draw. The conclusion that we had, we came to a while ago, and now we're proving it. Okay, we're done. Goodbye. Page 57 is too much preamble. That's, again, like the boring part. Page 66 is a tenuous link.
Tenuous is one of my favorite words.
Tenuous at best.
Tenuous 73 at best.
Has a personal anecdote. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proving it by talking deep about it. Just for me. I don't know if that was the one that might... Okay, so at some point in, like, a chapter break, because they had left off on something offensive, in between the chapters, Stephen P.H., has a personal bio slice of Stephen V where he says, oh, but, you know, really he's kind of a wuss and you could beat him up in a fight, so it's okay. Don't be offended. He's a wimp.
Boots don't have mouths, Kaz.
That's actually what's there. I'm not kidding. One of the chapter breaks is, please don't be offended. He's secretly a wuss.
But boots don't have mouths.
They don't. Absolutely. For page 75, I said, see the front cover.
See cucumber.
probably means that they didn't actually say anything. Let's see. Page 79, presupposes outcome, what if it is the other kind or something else altogether? Proven by quiz show logic. Okay, I wish I knew what I was talking about there. But yeah, no, the presupposition of the outcome is another, like, that's every chapter. They're like, okay, we're right, let's prove it. Which is a fine structure if you actually prove something. And since they don't, they just sort of, like, carry on, get to their, like, word count or whatever, and then turn the paper in.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then finally page 80, and then, having proven nothing, we're on to an actually interesting topic. Follow the birdie. So, yeah. I think that's when they started talking about the KKK and some guy who dismantled it by giving Superman new stories, which was neat, and a, like, factual recounting of historical events about a person who is way cooler than either of those guys. Wow. Yeah. Oh, right. Which I then wrote down, dude is way cooler than you, which is a boredom tactic. I'll just talk about someone who's more interesting than me. Which I guess currently I'm doing the opposite of. Yikes. Then we're on to muddy summarizing, page 84. I promise this won't take too much longer. Page 89, I'm still not shocked, and also crime obsession. So the guy is obsessed with crime, blood, and... what was the... oh, crap. Data. Yes. Absolutely obsessed with data. Crime, blood, crime, data. And then I'd have the kill spell for the Stevens. Let's see. Ah, okay. So another thing that they try to do is dismantle conventional wisdom. Which, you know, you get to tell me what that is. So they're building up their straw man, which is a useful conversational tactic sometimes. And here it's just like, oh, I guess everybody thinks that? What? What does that have to do with anything? And yeah, and then on page 91, they have a story that fails to be any different from the conventional wisdom it describes. So they even fall prey to the traps.
You build the straw man, and then you elect the straw man president.
Yes. Actually, it worked for them, for Steve's.
Fine work, Steve's.
On page 92, I dared them to cite any of this. They did have citations for a lot of their stuff, which is to say, like, here is some data. Here are some data. Bring, like, you can go
hear
look
ye,
it up, too.
Hear ye.
Right. From page 93 until page 108, another description of someone cooler than you, essentially a stolen passage. So it's like publishing someone else's book, which we call plagiarism.
It's no good.
Yep. Let's see, page 110 backs down from an actually interesting question, probably because they don't have an intelligent answer to it, but that's my guess. Page 113, focus on black strife. This theme continues. Let's just focus on that for the entire remainder of the book. In fact, I'm done. I can't even get through my own notes. I'm already too furious. So we wash the whole thing down by laughing at baby names that black people call their kids. And then the book ends. With a good chaser of, no, it's okay, I have a black friend.
Oh, what? Oh,
like,
dang.
No shit.
Okay,
like
so,
that.
But if I sort of pay less attention to that and everything that comes before, what you're saying is that I should definitely get this book and use it as a manual to deceive other people.
You could definitely use it that way. As long as you don't listen too much to the actual content of the book and more the structure.
Like, focus on their tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a tactical case study. That's what
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yep.
This is the Stevens are geniuses. They wanted to publish a tactical case study in deception and fraud, but you, if you call it that on its front face, you know, you will be reviled and hated.
Oh.
So what you do is you perform it. And leave the deduction to the astute reader who is inclined towards charlatanism and general huckstability.
I mean, we like a good story. That's deep down what we want out of a New York Times bestseller. We want a novel, you know? This also fails as a novel, in case you're hoping for that, out of the book.
But if we say data, you feel smart. Oh, like, man. Oh, science data backs me up. I'm the smart guy.
I'm learning how it really is. I'm getting the raw toast. Which, you know, by the way, that's how like one weird trick discovered by a mom works. You know?
Rub raw toast all over your face every morning.
So That's the value that Freakonomics provides to the world.
That's good. This is great.
The only reason that I'm talking about this at all is because I like bothered to read the book at some point. And I'm like, oh, I've heard of this. People were telling me how cool this was. There was that one episode of Orange is the New Black where that one character mentions it. Maybe I should read this, you know. But it is I think it's an important book to understand. It's like a cultural touchstone. It's how you can be like well-wishing and disconnected and still feel self-satisfied
and racist
and hella racist. Like, I felt embarrassed reading it. I'm like, oh my god, you cannot say that. How would
they just said it?
They did.
New York Times bestseller.
Two Stevens get away with this shit.
If it were just one Steven, they'd get caught. Two Stevens, misdirection.
Yep. So in case all of this up to this point wasn't clear, this is all like botched note-taking efforts from a non-expert whose opinion is mine. It's my opinion, I guess.
And I've expressed no opinion.
I have to couch all of that in this. And without... I guess if I just flat call them charlatans, that's seditious.
Go for it. Go for sedition. Right. I don't know. YOLO, dude.
Right. I only live once, which is why I have to take care of this existence.
You only live once. Never look at explosions. But if I need to always be not looking at explosions, that means there always needs to be an explosion nearby.
I guess, like, don't look into the sun for that same reason.
Yeah. The sun's the biggest explosion I've ever heard of.
But yeah, I try to keep this safe for portal masters and all that, but I can't. These Stevens are motherfuckers. Fuck them. Their book is trash. I would not wipe my ass with it. You can take your obsession with blood and crime and data and choke on it. I wish them all the worst. I hope I never meet them casually in life or read any works that they have done ever again. I know that they had a blog for a while. I hope they get... I hope it disappears from the internet somehow, even though nothing ever disappears from the internet. What else? No, I can't say enough bad things about these two dudes.
So what we have to do... Here's what we have to do. Let me run this one by you. Is find a book that is like that one, but good.
That'd be a trick. Oh my now god,
we have
no.
Now we have a quest.
No, now I have to write it. And I'll just title it Freakonomics, but good.
Freakonomics, good version.
Take that, Steven.
Yeah. Like, you're only one Steven. One Steven defeats two, but how? Click here to find out.
This book is so white we couldn't even find people not named Steve to write it. For real, though, I'd probably actually have to study economics to write
this book is going to take you around 25 years, dude.
Yeah, so...
It'll be good, but it's going to take you 25 years.
I'll have anecdotes in the middle that are, like, funny and good about how trash this piece of wasted
I mean, paper. I'm actually working on a book right now that's sort of a different tack of Freakonomics, but good, in the sense that I don't, I have a lot of anecdotes... And I draw a lot of conclusions, but I don't claim that any of them are true.
Ooh.
So it's like this, but more honest. It's like, look, I'm just making things up here. Okay, here's something that never happened. Therefore.
Man, that's totally what we should do more of. I need to do less dressing down of casual racists named Steve and more...
Dressing up.
More dressing up of planeswalker fantasy tales and... Skeleton magic.
Skeletons, definitely. what was that came up with skeletons? Oh, right. The, we'll squeeze this in right at the end. The .boo top-level domain is going to become available soon.
Excellent.
So, you know, I was brainstorming up domain names to try and buy and actually use, not just squad them. Okay. I can try to actually use them. So, of course, you know, if I want to go, you know, have my professional... website on here, I could always use the name of my professional organization, deadwizardsociety.boo. There's a, you know, lookout, it's a skeleton.boo, spookyghosts.boo.
That's good.
Many ghosts, really, like any adjective and then ghosts.
I mean, you could just have like TA.
Oh wow, that would be strong.
TA.boo.
Yeah, I was trying to think of good words.
There's not a lot that ends in boo.
Hullabaloo ends in
loo. Right, it's in loo.
It was so close. There's so many B's in hullabaloo.
That is a different domain. That's the loo domain.
That's the...
And then you can have water.loo. I think boo.boo would be decent.
Oo.boo?
Oo.boo.
Get your palindrome.
Just like mock.com.
I never thought about mock.com until right now, and it's messing me up real bad.
I need to learn what is at mock.com.
What's at mock.com?
I'm gonna safe browse this.
Yeah, I'm guessing spyware.
This is...
Do it incognito.
Yeah. Go to mock.com for the Marathon Oil Corporation.
That's just a redirect, yeah, to Marathon Oil Corporation.
What a waste. Well, at least it wasn't spyware.
Yeah, well, probably.
So you can follow us up on ta.boo, where I will be writing my serialized economical novel, Freakonomics But Good, featuring an orange that has an apple on the inside. Take that, assholes.
No, mess them up real bad. Have an orange, and here's the misdirection. It's a regular orange.
A regular
orange. You build it up so much.
Orange.
That they expect something odd, but it's something
nerd.
Completely normal.
You pinhead. You actual.
You dunce. You buffoon. Are we practicing this now? I like this segment. Idiot. Prettiot. Proximidiot. Idiot investment fund.
He has earned interest on all of those hot takes.
Skulls.
Skulls.